Hello, today is Friday the 14th. That's Friday the 13th, sorry. Friday the 14th, January 2022. It's a new year. This is the third episode of Drive Time. I'm your host, Sabi. This is a podcast where I drive to or from work and we kind of recap and talk about some stuff. I have every intention to recap this Tennessee Titans game that I went to. Every intention. But I have gotten a lot of shit going on at work. And it's always personalities. It's always trying to be collaborative. But generally, I am quite sick of certain people's bullshit. Like, I'm not a person who makes snap decisions on whether to fire somebody. I generally feel like people at least need to be told once, at least once, that their performance is not there, right? That there is something that we need to change. And the goal is to change it. And the goal is to try to get you to focus in on said things that we will either lay out or talk about. And these are the things that we want you to change, right? These are the things that we've got to have you work on to try to get better, right? I'm a firm believer in that. But once you have gone through that step and nothing has changed, you're kind of dead to me. In the sense that I've given you the opportunity to change. I've given you the opportunity to try to be better. And it's done. So I'm going to give up on the relationship, right? I'm going to go ahead and sit here and say, it's over for me. And let's just play this thing out. Because generally, I've not really had that many people. Excuse me. I've not really had that many people, like, change, right? The individuals that want to change, change. The people that do want to do better, they do better. Because they listen to the feedback and they take the opportunity to do those things. There are people that I work with or that I manage, specifically, not work with, but manage, that just don't get it. They just don't understand that I'm not looking for you to work, like, especially in the management position, right? I have a person who is responsible for income of a department or store income or whatever it is, right? There's somebody who's responsible for financials, personnel, and a handful of other things. Training, coordinating, those types of stuff. Said individual can't get it together. And we've talked about these things over and over and over and over and over again until I was blue in the face. And the excuses just flowed like water. They flowed. It was, I can't do it because I'm not trained and I need more training. And we got more training. But now I just don't have the right people. And, well, he runs off all the people, right? It's like, well, you never have people because you don't train them. You don't train them because you already judge them before you actually work with them. And then you never give them the opportunity to change based off of set conversations on how to improve. That's an issue. Those are issues. So legitimate issues. And when you finally have a conversation, a sit-down conversation to try to improve, and you don't get the buy-in and you don't get the feedback, I think it's time to pull the trigger and say, we're good here. We're done. Again, it's very difficult to make those decisions. And you don't make those decisions lightly. But when that decision is made, you're going to have some action. I get upset when my superiors don't see what's actually going on. Right? I've said this numerous times to them. Like, listen, because they've asked, oh, well, are you going to quit? I'm like, well, I'm not going to talk about it if I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to walk up, go to the human resource office, or maybe send them an email, explain my position, and then leave. And I just want to be really clear up front. When I say that my superiors, my managers, the people above me, the human resource individuals, I'm not saying they don't do their job. They do. I'll never sit here and say that they're not doing the job. But if you believe that the human resource department at your company is a person that will advocate for you, the individual, you're dumb. You do not understand what human resources actually do. And this is from a corporate recruiter who handles several human resources, right? His direct quote and the way that he explained it, this is off a YouTube show called Life After Layoff. If you want to go and check the reference, he talks about how the human resource department is not necessarily there for the employee, right? It is there for the company. It is there to protect the company. It is there to watch out for liabilities for the company. It is there to protect the company. It's not there to protect you, right? It's just not. It's there to make sure that said person is in a situation like he said, she said, or you know, if there's a harassment claim or things like that, they are there to protect the company. They are there to make sure that there is nothing going wrong, right? For instance, you probably hear about this a lot. There's a lot of different situations you can claim. Sexual abuse or any kind of abuse. Anything like that where you have like a, usually it's a woman claiming that a man is abusing his power, right? A claim that most people are familiar with, right? Oh yeah, this guy's abusing his power, X, Y, and Z. Most of the time, the human resource manager does not give a shit if it is true or not. That's not their concern. Their concern is, if it is true, which it's not, right? I mean, I'm not saying most of the time, but if it is true, we're going to be in trouble. This is a lawsuit. How do we protect it? So what they do is they say, hey, we don't know if it's true or not, but what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and put you on a performance evaluation or a performance review. It's like, it's not true. None of this stuff happened. This is not factual. None of this stuff is factual. Well, just in case it is, we want to protect ourselves because, if there's an investigation, it was found for it, then, you know, we're good here. This is, you know, we did our job as the human resource department, put a badge on her. But all that does is say, for the individual, again, this is why I can see, again, concisely believe that a human resource department is not your friend. They do not work for you. They work for the company. They protect the company. 100% it's horseshit. Like 100% it's horseshit. So, again, little side rant. I want to make sure people are familiar and understand that just because the human resource manager is a nice guy and he tells you that he understands your situation, yeah, he's going to understand it. But at the same time, he's going to make a decision, whether it be, you know, firing you or writing you up or disciplining you or, you know, demoting you or promoting you or whatever. It's always for the best interest of the company. That's how the lens has to look. That's how the lens has to be. I'm protecting this company. I'm not protecting you. And the easier way that you see that, the easier way this is. So now, coming back to a situation where I'm like, hey, I've got all my ducks in a row. Said individual is not producing. Said individual is not. Well, you know, do we have enough to terminate for cause? Yeah. Well, that person's going to get unemployment. Why is that a concern? Right? I would rather move forward. And I know this comes back to the NFL because I thought about this not too long ago. There's a lot of, players who have been cut by teams and then they've signed with other teams during the season. And the first team that cut them is still paying a portion or the majority of their salary while said individual pays place for another team. In the 2020 season, this is an example of now New England's Patriot linebacker, Cal Van Noy. He played for Miami, the Miami Dolphins, an in-division rival, Miami Dolphins. He was cut by the Dolphins, and New England picked him up, and for the majority of this season, and I believe some of the next, Cal Van Noy is being paid by the Miami Dolphins to play. The majority of his money is coming from a team that he doesn't play for. In some ways, on a smaller scale, you know, unemployment is that way. You're going to be, we would rather pay somebody else to take your position, right? I'm going to pay another person to be the manager, and you're still going to get a portion of salary from our company because you were employed for us long-term, long tenure. And it's like, okay, That makes sense. Right? And it depends. You give somebody a write-up for this, you have to be fair with everybody and give a write-up for this. Okay. Well, the minute that this person gets written up and fired, I'll quit. And then you can really step into to whatever you... And it's not like a... And again, I mentioned this a minute ago. It's like I'll walk into the human resource manager's office and say, hey, let's have a chat. I have a resignation here. I'd like to discuss why I'm leaving. And the reason why, I think it's respectful to you for you to understand my complete reason to why I feel like I need to go. Or why I feel like I needed to go and field other offers and find another opportunity for myself. And that's a hard way and a cold way of looking at it. It's a very spiteful way. But it's honestly probably the best way that you should be in a kind of negotiation like this. Because honestly, again, the human resource department does not give a fuck about you. They only care about you when it serves their purpose, which is keeping the company thriving. You know, if you're a key employee or a good employee, they might do something for you. They probably won't. You know, say you're worth $85,000 on the open market, ballpark figure, and they're paying you $65,000. You know, there's $20,000 still out there for that a company will pay you. Are you staying at your current company for brand loyalty, just to be loyal? I hope not. Because 5 years from now, when they have a guy coming out of college that they can pay the same amount to, $65,000, and the market's gone up, and over 10 years you've been with this company, and you've gotten $1,000 raise, $2,000 raise, you know, $2,000 raise, $1,000. I mean, essentially, you've grown $8,000 in 10 years, and you're barely at $72,000. They're going to fire you or try to demote you so that the next person can come in for the same amount they hired you 10 years ago. It's the truth. Look at the numbers. Check Indeed. Right? Check Glass Ceiling. Glass Door, I think that's what it's called. But there's a lot of websites that will prove this. That at some point, 5-10 years, you actually are lagging way behind the open job market of what the market will dictate for the position. And truth of the matter is, hey, if, like, for instance, retail manager. If you're a retail manager, what 55 used to be when I was 20 years old, 55,000, is now 60,000, 65,000, right? In the course of 10 years, it's gone up $10,000. Now, does your salary, your bullshit 2%, 3% increase, does that actually match? No. It doesn't. It doesn't match it. I mean, teachers, you can say the same thing about teachers, and it's the exact same bullshit scale. Like, my mother-in-law was a teacher for 30 years. When she retired, the wage that she retired at was horribly low compared to what they were hiring new teachers at. New teachers were being paid $5,000 to $10,000 more than a 30-year experienced teacher. It's crazy to think about it like that, but it's the absolute truth. It's a travesty. I mean, my wife is a teacher, and it's, you know, it's like her second to third year in. I think by the 5-year mark, she's not going to be in teaching anymore. I 100%, I think this. Now, if my wife ends up being a teacher for the rest of her life, okay, but she has a lot of what the fuck moments, like I do. I have a lot of what the fuck moments in my day to day. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, and it's just like, what are we even doing? Like, what are we doing here? Like, we're going to be paid in 10 years a very minimal amount, right? Very minimal amount compared to when we were hired, right? Oh, 2% here, 3% here, 2% here. And then if you look at the wage, like the wages, in some places they course correct and they give employees 10% increases or 20% increases because they want it. There, it's super competitive. But guy like me, oh, here's 8%, here's 7%. I'm like, okay, well, don't get me wrong, I appreciate, you know, what I'll make within the next 3-year increase. That's fine. And actually, it's really not that, because if you go 3 years, it gets minimized. And, it's a little bit more money, but if you get one chunk at 8% and one chunk at 3 over 3 years, it's not 9% you're getting, you know. Anyway, math nerds real quick that understand that. But anyway, I just feel so strongly about this because think it's horseshit. I do. I personally think that it is a load of shit. The fact that you're going to have to go through and struggle through all of these things. And by the way, most companies are like this. Most businesses run this way. You know, I'm not sitting here speaking to... I mean, some people don't apply to this, obviously. But if you're a person who works as a wage or a person who works in salary, you have to understand that these are truths. Like, these are what is going on out there. If you were to, you know, adjust yourself or move yourself or whatever into another business. So, like an example, you were a teacher for 5 years and you move into becoming a banker. Right, you would sit here and say, well, you know, actually, I'm not. You know, I get paid 8-to-5 schedule. I don't have to deal with the bullshit stress. Yeah, I get paid a little less, but my husband gets paid a lot more because his job career is a little bit more. So he gets paid closer to the $105,000 mark, and I get paid closer to the $15 an hour mark, and I used to be at $40,000 or $45,000 a year, whatever it is, right? It's just like... I actually thought about being a teacher not too long ago. I really did. I considered it, and I was going to get, like, a teaching certificate to try that. But I was like, fuck that. Okay? They pay teachers shit, and I'm going to be one of those teachers that ain't going to shuck and jive. Like, I'm just not. I'm not a teacher that is the shuck and jive teacher. Oh, yeah, I do what you want, Mr. Evaluator. I just do that right now. I change that. I take care of that for you. I don't do that shit. I am shucking jive. That's the reason why I have a lot of problems in my life when it comes to control, is because I gotta have control. I gotta be in this. I've gotta be the person who is not dictating things, but I've gotta at least have some input in what's happening. I can't just be a fucking go out there and dance clown. You know, I gotta be your dancing monkey. Like, I'm not that guy. But adversely, you know, if I don't know shit, I'm gonna shut the fuck up and listen. Like, I just am. It's like, I don't know anything about this. Why? I don't know nothing about this. Why am I going to come over here and try to tell you how to do it? Should you teach me? Tell me. Let me know. Like, let me learn. The minute I feel like I'm confident enough to figure out something, or confident enough to add something into the conversation, you know, that's when I feel like, okay, I've got some bearing here. But, I mean, I couldn't be a teacher because I don't shuck a job for administration. I could be a principal, maybe. Maybe. You know, put 5 years in schooling right now, you know. Get a teaching certificate, go 2-3 years, go get a master's in education, and, you know, do, you know, take the test, put the stuff in, yada, yada, yada. I could be a principal in probably about 5 or 10 years. I definitely, like, if I quit my retail management career, whatever the fuck I got going on right now, if I did that, and I'm 34, I'm going to be 34 in a couple of days. If I quit that, and let's say I finish out this year, get certified. If I start teaching at 35 years old, by the time I'm 45, if I'm not a principal, I would be disappointed with my goals. Counselor, a principal, something along those lines, where I'm like, hey, this is what I want to do, right? And don't get me wrong, I don't enjoy the fucktard kids. I enjoy the kids that want to learn. Hey, you want to learn? Cool. Let me teach you something. I feel like I'm that type of teacher that would thrive in that kind of environment. But that kind of environment is dead now. Right? Grading papers. Being a part of the bureaucracy of, well, you got to do this. so many no's in my life that I'm like, nope, 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 nope. Not doing bullshit sales without a product I believe in. Okay? Not going to do my own thing because I don't really have a side hustle invested to do that yet. I guess I'll just continue to rot away the brilliance or the potential. Doing some bullshit management job. I mean, I continue to think about these things over and over and over and over and over again in my head. And the one thing that I can't really get is a sense of direction. I get frustrated with my role, I get frustrated with my job, and then I start thinking, well, what else could you do? But then you just draw blanks, right? From an outsider looking in, somebody can probably tell me what's a good career, what's something that I would be able to do, what's something that I would enjoy, right? I just don't have that person in my life to sit here and say, this is what you gotta look into, buddy. I just don't. I have ideas for what I think I would like. But then I also see, like, the flaws in them. I see the things that could potentially go wrong with it, right? Like, I mean, the teaching idea is a great idea. I would love to influence people. I think that I'd be good at it. I like to talk. I like to explain things. I think that if you find special kids or kids that are engaged, those can get you through some of the assholes. I don't like the bureaucracy. I don't like the pay. I mean, let's be real. The pay is complete shit. So it's like, okay, well, that's not going to work. But then again, it's like, well, is everything about the money? No, not necessarily. No. But right now it is. I've got 4 children. The youngest one is under 2. That's a lot of shoes, socks, clothes, right? I'm going to need to be practical about this, right? I need to find the joy in what I'm doing right now and focus in on that. Because ultimately, I know I can't. Because of the life decisions I've made, right? The choices. Last year, we had a whole discussion about choices and about the things that you choose, the things that you have, and the way that you make a decision. Choices. Because of your choices, that does disqualify you from doing something. Like, I can't start a rock band right now and think that I'm going to be successful. I could do it if I had no kids, no family. I mean, if I had a little bit more money, but if it was just me looking out for me, I think I could obviously make that step. I could be a part of a band, travel around and do that. But I mean, I have no instrumental, you know, capacity. I mean, let's be real. I'm not an instrument musical kind of guy. I love music, but it's not my thing. Adversely, hey, why don't you just join like the Marlboro Company and start fucking lobbying in Washington? I actually wanted to be a lobbyist when I read the book, Thank You for Smoking. I thought it was a funny book. I thought it was a genius book. I saw the movie with Aaron Eckhart, and I was like, yeah, this is a fucking banker. Like, this is it. But, you know, sometimes you take a step back. Like, I was talking about, I think, a couple podcasts ago. Just the idea of what you wanted your life to be. Now, I may have recorded this, I may not, but I'm thinking about this. Like, 15 years ago, I was in high school. All right, one of my best friends, I promised at the 50-yard line after we graduated, I said, hey man, when I go and become a famous photographer and I got my own business, I'll do your stuff for free. I told him that. And I still remember it. I'm just not a famous photographer. Nor did I actually want to be. I just said if I had a studio, if I had stuff, I'd take care of your stuff for free. So I told him, I was like, yeah, you know, because we were so high on aspirations, right? Oh yeah, you're smart. You can go out there and you can conquer the world. And for the first probably 6 years after high school, I felt like I could conquer the world. And then I got married. I'm not saying marriage does that to you or it takes you out, but you stop being selfish. So that vibrato that you have, that piece that says I'm the fucking shit, I can do it, that melts away when you have somebody else that you think about. And then not only does it melt away, it evaporates when you have children. I'm not saying the drive and the idea and the stuff is not there. It's just not that tangible. I'm not saying that it couldn't happen. It could. But you also have to be a person who is aware, right? A person who is aware. I became aware of my situation and surroundings. It's crazy to think. At 23, I got married. It's fine. I had my first child at 25, actually 26 technically. But I started living those milestone moments, and I had my head down with my wife, and I pick my head up now, and it just seems like, what the fuck happened? Where was that skinny kid at 23 looking up saying, fuck you, I can do it. I can do whatever I want. I'm smart. I'm young. I can do it. It doesn't matter. You want me to be an asshole? I can be an asshole. You want to be a guy who's numbers driven and anything for the number? I'll go out there and I'll bust ass and do that. Right? You're not going to outwork me because that's impossible. That kind of shit. Some of those things are still there. Remnants of it, right? I feel like I'm starting to get more and more selfish because, and it's not selfish in a individual way, collectively selfish, right? I want the best for my family. I want the best for my kids because I think they deserve better because they're my kids, right? But all of those things are selfish, but they're altruistically selfish. Like, it's like, hey, I want the best for them because they're mine. It's like, okay. And I want the best for myself because I want the best for myself. I don't want to have to wait till I'm 50 and my kids are out of school in order to figure out what I want to do at the back end of my life, which is honestly not living to 100. At least I don't think I will. If I happen to live to 100, hey, guess what? Midpoint. How you doing? But truthfully, if I die at 70, I'm coming up to the midpoint of my life right now in the next couple of years. It's so terrifying to think about it like that. And truth be told, if I die anytime before 70, I already hit the midpoint. Think about where you are right now in your life. Just audience, people who are listening. You know, think about where you are in your life. If you're in your 40s and you live to 80, you're at the midpoint. If you live to 65, you're past your midpoint. That doesn't necessarily need to be depressing or sad or anything like that, because nobody truly knows. An asteroid could hit everybody, and guess what? My midpoint was fucking 17 years ago when I was 17 years old. I didn't know it was the midpoint. Hey, here, how we doing? Keep it moving. Like, that's where we are. That's where we're going. I just feel like it's interesting because nobody really knows that, so thinking about that piece is... it's not going to help anybody. It's not, you're not doing anybody any favors by considering that. What you are doing is contemplating your life and your role. How did you make an impact? What did you do? I mean, and really the honest truth of it is like tomorrow if it ended, and this was like, if there was a little countdown clock at the bottom of your life, right? This is a film strip, and at the bottom it's counting down 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, right? You're at the end. It's almost like counting down on New Year's Eve. And when you finally get to that point where it's the end of your life, you really won't know. You just won't. And it's not like you're going to have the time to reflect on your life and say, well, you know, I could have fucked those hookers, or I could have invested all my money in Apple, or I could have, you know, whatever it is. You're not going to have a review period after you die. At least I don't think you will. If you do, hey, I'm wrong. But it's just something like, what do you remember? Do you remember changing the tire on the side of the road at 26 years old? Do you remember the race you ran the morning of your wedding, or the race you ran the day before your wedding? You know? Do you remember staying up all night for that test that you got a B on sophomore year in college? Do you remember any of the tests that you took when you were in college? Some people say yes, some people say no, some people say it's not relative. There was a point in my life where I could name every teacher I've ever had, and it was pretty relatively close. close to where I am now age-wise. You know, I knew my first grade teacher, I knew my second grade teacher, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. And when you got into the sixth grade, you branched off into a day of seven. So then you had seven or eight teachers in a row. See, I don't even remember how many there were. Shit, I can't name them all. I mean, Mr. Hunter was first period. Then you had Mr. March, who taught math second. You had Miss Hensley, who taught third, maybe. Fourth period was, I don't know, gives a fuck. You know, fifth period after lunch, now you got into the reading teacher, because there's a writing and a reading teacher, and I think, I don't fucking remember, and then you had seventh period, which was like, sixth period was like, fuck, I don't know, then you had seventh period that was like PE, I think, sixth period was PE, seventh period was PE, fuck, it doesn't matter, seventh period was PE, I think, and then eighth period was Miss Mitchell. Okay, that was 6th grade. 7th grade, what did you say? Well, shit, fuck, I don't remember. 7th grade, I remember I had, Van Zandt, 2nd period, maybe? I know I had Riley as 7th period. I had Gaines as my 1st period teacher, and also, I think, my 5th period teacher, maybe? Billingsley was a computer teacher. Start trying, and I'm pretty sure if I pull up my middle school yearbook, I can be like, that was first, that was second, that was third, that was fourth, that was fifth, right? I mean, by the year, then you'd be like, oh, this is easy. It's slammed up. And some classes I remember. I remember the creepy guy from second period, Mr. Martz, my sixth grade year. He took pictures of all his kids. Total pedophile vibe. You know, I remember Miss Mitchell was the eighth class. We had a guy named Corey Johnson. It was just kind of an asshole. But, you know, he was the guy in the class. I sat by Bianca Della Pena. You know, she was D, Della Pena, and I was H, Hernandez, so she sat kind of adjacent to me, and that's where we met. That's where I think we met, because in the 7th grade, she was in a class, or was that 8th grade? See, exactly, that's, you know, when you start remembering your life, and you remember things, the details fly out. You only remember, as Pat McAfee likes to say, only the bangers survive, right? Only the things that really hit. Stay with you. Only the bangers survive. So, I don't remember some of these things. I remember some, obviously. But I remember all. I don't remember it all, right? I mean, 7th grade year was a blur. I mean, I had athletics, maybe. I think athletics was the beginning of the day. Maybe. And then 8th grade, athletics was at the end of the day. Maybe it was vice versa. You have athletic walkthrough in the morning, and you had, I think 8th grade was in the morning, because that's when that fight between Willis and Bradshaw happened. Yeah, anyway, it could have been in the afternoon. Fuck, I don't remember. I remember Coach Gomez. I remember Hagel was 7th grade, I thought, 7th grade teacher. He's a coach, but he was also a teacher. I never had him as a teacher. You try to remember all these people, and that's the point. You don't. You won't. It wasn't so long ago that I actually had everybody down in the schedule order, what they taught. It's all fuzzy now. It's very fuzzy. It's so fuzzy that it may not have even happened the way I'm talking about it now, right? You go back and relive your life, and you start thinking, like, well, did that actually happen that way? No. Yes? Maybe. Perhaps. We're in the midpoint of our life. Somewhere. Somewhere we're going to hit the midpoint. Truth is, we really don't know. Right? We really don't. When you've got 5 years left, there's not a timer at the bottom saying you got 5 years. You got 20 years left. There's no sand glass that just cops up and says, man, you still got 20 years. It's cool. You're going to die in a car accident 25 years from now. Like, it does not... It doesn't compute, right? Like, that's not like the... That doesn't happen. That's what I'm trying to say, is that that doesn't happen. So, we've talked about two different things in this episode. We talked about, like, the memories and what you can remember, how much time you have left on the earth, and how that's break down to some, which way, in a way you'll never be able to break it down. And then I ranted for probably the first 20 minutes about fucking my job and how much it sucks and how I want to try to find something else, like, and how it doesn't really matter because I'm never going to really be fulfilled. I think that's going back to that Sunday. Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm never going to be fulfilled with something. It's just very difficult to do so. Do I want to be fulfilled? Definitely. I think we all do. Do I actually think that in my lifetime I'm going to be fulfilled with a job that I love?
No. I
have a lot of reservations about those things because I really truly feel like that's not tangible. I'm going to have to find the joy in whatever I'm doing and then, you know, deal with it. Do I want to run my own business? Yes. Do I want the headache of running it? No. You know, so it's like, do you really want to run your business then? Well, I think that's the only thing I would really be successful at. Well, what makes you say that? You can be successful as somebody else's employee. Yeah, but I'm somebody else's employee. I'm somebody else's puppet, you know? They tell me, they pull on my strings and I dance like a marionette. Interesting concepts. Fascinating. 20 minutes was like a bullshit rant. Like, you know, let's get into some stuff. And then second half is a little bit more philosophical. Like, you're going to be at a midpoint at some point. I don't know if it's already happened. Like, I know talking to my father-in-law that his midpoint's already gone. He knows that. He doesn't know when. But he's like, you know, I've got maybe 10, 15 years, 20 years left. 30 years left. Maybe 30 years. He's in his 60s. My grandpa lived to his 90s. That's coming. I know that that's coming. I'm not ready for it. My own parents, I know that they're going to pass at some point. That's coming. I'm not ready for that. I don't want to be all somber before, you know, we leave because I'm about to wrap this episode up. But I mean, I guess it really highlights the joys and it highlights how small the fights are, right? Because like I think of my mom. Me and my mom have had issues in the past. Me and my mom have had great times in the past. There's been a lot of things that, you know, we've not agreed on, but I would be more sad for my children because they, like, especially Gail, who's, you know, like I said, under two. Rachel, she's a kid. She's not going to remember grandma. She's just going to remember grandma. She's going to be like, oh, yeah, Grandma Hernandez. Yeah, but I remember her, but I don't remember her. There's no substance, right? It's the picture of the ice cream. It's a picture of an ice cream sundae without feeling the cold, without, you know, watching it melt. It's just a crystallized memory, right? It's just, bam, it was a snapshot. There's nothing behind it. It's just an image. And, you know, when you lose people that young, that's kind of how it is. I was lucky enough to have my grandparents around, at least my mom and dad, my dad's grandparents around. My mom's grandparents were alive, but they were not around. And they're not necessarily the closest people. My mom's side is kind of checkered in some ways, in a lot of ways. But I guess the ultimate thing is that I'm starting to try to branch off and define what I really want to do and what I truly feel like I'm called to do here. And it's going to sound crazy. It's going to be something wild. That nobody can expect or something that doesn't pay any money. And it's going to be like, well, how the fuck are we going to, well, we'll do it. We'll survive. Something is going to happen to where we can do it. There's this girl that I knew. She graduated with my younger sister. She, you know, she was a manager at Walmart, which a good, you know, pretty good paying retail job. Her husband works there as well. And, you know, they together, they made pretty good money. There's enough to stay, you know, enough to support their family, enough to do it. Well, she quit that job because she felt like she needed to do something else. And she knew she needed to do something else. And she branched out. And I'm very proud of her for doing that because she's literally trying to live her best life, her best opportunity, her best situation. And I'm all for that. Why would I ever be against that? There's some other people that started a daycare in town. They put a lot of money into it. Unfortunately, we're not going to go with the daycare. We're not going to. But I applaud their effort. I applaud her saying this is what we're going to do and trying to do it. It doesn't work out for my situation, but does not mean that it's not a great idea. Doesn't mean that I'm not supporting of her. And I'll, you know, word of mouth, try to say, hey, this is a great daycare because Just because we couldn't do it doesn't mean we're against it. It just logistically didn't work out. I'm going to end this episode of Drive Time. I stopped driving a little bit ago, by a couple minutes, but I wanted to end my thoughts on this, is that my job really sucks. Dealing with COVID, dealing with people, dealing with bullshit management, dealing with human resources that aren't really out for you, dealing with people and trying to get everybody rowing the boat in the same way is very difficult. It's extremely stressful. I would like to think that I have the better temperament for this stuff, but in truth, I can be sensitive and these things can really take a toll on me. But then I take a step back and say, you know what? I don't know how long I'm going to be on this earth. I don't know how long I'm going to be alive. I don't know, you know, and the truth is some of this stuff doesn't matter. If I do this today, does it affect things? Definitely. But does it really fucking matter? Not really. No. I always looked at people who had that I don't give a fuck attitude, like truly, but it's not I don't give a fuck because of purpose. It's more like I'm a sloth, I'm lazy, I'm apathetic, I don't really care if it gets done because I don't give a fuck. I never understood that until now, right? Until right about now in my life that I'm like, you know what? It's just one of those things. It's just one of those things. We'll look at it a lot of different ways in our lives, right? You start a philosophy based off of this and you believe it until that is getting shattered, right? Until that belief is tested. And then at that point you really need to, you know, do I want to believe in this? Do I need to believe in this? Is there evidence to believe in this? However you go about vetting your suspicions or hunches or whatever, you'll go through and say, is this actually something I believe in? And it's a yes, you continue with it. If it's a no, you don't. Most people's beliefs are like that, right? You hear the whole, I was an atheist until I was in the foxhole. Okay. You know, there's no atheist in the foxhole or whatever the saying is. Maybe, maybe not. But have you ever been in the foxhole? Oh, you haven't? Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of tragic. Sure. Okay. Well, until I'm in that situation, I don't know what to say. I'm not the guy who's going to sit here and try to do X, Y, and Z, but I just want to give my ideas and my thoughts out there to y'all guys. This has been Drive Time. Appreciate y'all listening, and I'll catch you down the road.